because it is the start of the year, it is a good time to use the start of the year to think about the year ahead well. And the last 2 years here at Central Vineyard, we've done two series which have helped us to do that. We've done one called Resolute, where we talked about what is a resolution, what are these things that people seem to make, and then 30 days later, they're gone. And last year we did one on intention. What are our intentions? How do we shape our intentions? And how do intentions shape us? Now, this year, what we want to do is this year for our summer series, while people are just coming back from summer and people are making their way back into Auckland and getting back into the rhythm of life, this year what we want to do is we want to look at a really important moment in the scriptures which was really important to Jesus, and as so, we need to make sure and check in and go, is this important to me? It's the start of the year. If it's important to Jesus, is it important to me? And that moment is found in the Gospel of Mark. There's a story, it goes like this. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate that was going on at the time. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. The teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all of my heart, all of my understanding, and all of my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Now, realizing how much that this man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So this religious lawyer, this guy who is looking out for the sake of his community to make sure that this guy going around teaching is legit, decides to ask Jesus and say, what do you say the most important commandment is? And now Jesus doesn't just yank this thing out of thin air. He doesn't just freestyle his answer. He reaches back into thousands of years of tradition and story for the Israelite people. And he pulls out a moment which is found in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy goes like this. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in your land, in the land you're about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. That sounds pretty good. If you listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey, then all will go well with you. And you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. And it says this, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. Jesus pulls this out. He says, this indeed is the most important commandment. This is the filter to see reality with. This is the priority, the top notch. This is the watermark. This is the high level. Listen. He is one. Love him with all you have. Now, this is actually has a name, and the name of it is the Shema. And Shema is actually just the Hebrew word that is that first word of that sentence. It's Shema means listen. Means listen. And we have that word many times in our scriptures. All throughout the Old Testament, you're going to find the word Shema. But this prayer is called the Shema because it is a prayer of listen. And it's a prayer that then unpacks what it is to listen. Because how many of you know that hearing and listening are not equal? Have I got any married people in the house that will testify that hearing and listening, it is not equal? I won't go there. Now, actually, I won't go to that one. I'll make myself look bad. Gab and I, before we got married, we did a pre-marriage course, which was a couple of weeks with a couple that we greatly admire, some mentors in our life. And they sat with us for several weeks, and we went through a bit of pre-marriage material together. And there was this exercise we had to do, which was an exercise on listening. So one person had to speak on something in the relationship that they wanted to fix, and the other person had to listen. And then when that other person had finished speaking, then the other person had to relay back what they had just heard that person say to check in, like, I have got this right, you, this is what you meant, right, correct? And then that person that started would then go, yes, and this is how it makes me feel, and this is what I think we should do. And then that person, the second listener, then, you know, you can see how this works, right? It's like to check. So I go first, and I download with Gab all the things that we need to fix, and Gab nods and gets it right, and we talk about it. And then it's my turn to listen, and Gab starts talking. And this weird thing happens where in my mind, I start going, you know how you can kind of have an inner dialogue? My inner dialogue goes, now make sure you're paying attention, Dan. Listen. And I can hear like there's sound waves of her voice. The pretty sound waves are touching my eardrums. But in my head is going, make sure you're, oh, Dan, you have just spent 5 seconds telling yourself to listen and you didn't hear anything she just said. And then I panic because I've just spent another 10 seconds realizing that. And literally, I'm spiraling out of control as I'm just sort of, yeah, sweet. Yeah. And Gab's talking, and I'm just in a dialogue going, panic. You have not heard a thing. You're not listening to her. You're not going to be able to reflect back to her. You're not going to be able to do what she has said. Because that's what listening is, right? Listening is not just actually hearing the sound waves. We hear it all day long. Listening is when you open up and you stop and you become aware. And then you receive what that person or what that thing you're listening to has to give you. And then you respond. Because that is what this word Shema means. Shema means listen, but this is the kind of listen it's trying to convey. It means to hear, to receive it, and then to respond. To respond. See, listening is not just hear. Listening is a two-sided coin. One side is in it comes, but then out, something has to live out as a result of what you've just heard. To listen well. I mean, how many of us know this even from our marriages where it's like, you know, this whole thing of do you not hear me tell you 1,000 times to rinse the dishes before you put them in the dishwasher? You know, like, it's just the same thing, isn't it? It's like your actions are not showing me that you have heard what I'm saying to you. And this is what the Shema is trying to convey. It's trying to convey this thing of hear, receive, respond. And so when we break the prayer down, it starts with listen, O Israel. In other words, hear this. Like, hear ye, listen, wake up, pay attention. And then there's two other parts. The first part, the Lord is our God. He's Lord alone. It's this truth. Like, listen to this truth. Receive it. Get it in you. And then part three, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. If you have heard what I have just said, you will live this response as a result. It's the other side of the coin. And all of this to the Hebrew was how you listened. It was both of those things, in and out. Receive and respond. And so today, we're going to do this for about 3 weeks. We're going to look at each of those chunks. So today, we're going to start with this first bit. Listen, O Israel, listen. We're going to start today with asking a question about how do we develop today the ability to listen to God in the midst of such a noisy, busy, chaotic life? Am I preaching yet? Anyone else feel that? I mean, we've got stuff to do. How do we listen to God in the midst of this city that will not stop? How do we listen to God in the midst of so much social noise that keeps coming through on our phones, on our computers? How do we listen to God in a world where so many people want our attention? In this notification era that we live in? Well, I think to just talk about this briefly with you guys today, there's three key words that we have to talk about. And the three words are this. And if you're noting things down this morning, these are three key words I want you to think about for this coming week. Rhythm, proximity, and priorities. How do you listen? Well, it's all about rhythm, proximity, and priorities. And I'll show you how this works. And the way we can see how it works is actually straight after the Shema, there's another little bit that's really interesting. It goes on to say this, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands, wear them on your forehead as reminders, write them on doorposts of your house and on your gates. So Deuteronomy, the words go on to continue. So here's the Shema, and then what do you do with this? Oh man, you just develop a rhythm where this thing is close to you. You develop a rhythm where this thing is not far, it is close. It is close proximity, and it is of a high priority to you. So do you want to see what the Jews did as a result of that? Does anyone know? They did this. This is something called tefillin. And tefillin are two little leather boxes and long leather straps. And when a Jewish boy becomes a man, he's given his set of tefillin. And in tefillin, inside those leather boxes, are four important scriptures to the Jewish people. Handwritten, little scrolls. The Shema is one of those that's put inside the box. And every day, they go through a prayer rhythm where they take the tefillin and they put one box on the inside of their arm here and they wrap the leather straps around their arm and through their fingers and they pray a blessing as they do that. And then they put the other one on their forehead. So you can see they've got the box on their forehead and they've got the strap tying it to their forehead. And this guy here he's wrapping it around his hand. And some incredibly Orthodox Jews, the really staunch ones, will just keep that on all day. Some will just do it for the morning while the morning prayers are taking place. But they will literally, because this is so important to them, because they want to develop a rhythm of regularly visiting this, because they want to have close proximity to this, because they want to have a high priority of this, they interrupt their day to go through this routine to remind themselves to make sure that they are listening and aware of what this thing has to offer them. Do you see that? So they literally interrupt their day with this tefillin ritual, this important moment. Anyone else here got some tefillin? No? Wow, this is one of the things I really grieve about the Western Church, is it's like we're throwing out our ability to really sink into some good rhythms, some things that are good for our souls, some things that can really help us. So what could it look like for us to do what that's meant to do? What could it look like for us to take this kind of commandment seriously? We have to take from that and learn from it. So what is your daily rhythm like? Do you have one? And how is the proximity? Is it close? And what's the priority like? Is it high? And to help you see a bit, I want to just quickly take you through a little metaphor, which involves a drum kit. Because I play drums. And one of the things that is really interesting to me about drums is if you walked up to any of those drums and you just gave it a hit, it just goes like this. Just makes a noise. If you walked up to the cymbal and you just whacked it, just psh. If you walk over to the snare drum and just gave it a whack, it just goes crack. So individually, all they do is just make noise. That's all they do. Each of those items on the drum kit sitting there, when a player hits one of those things, it just makes a noise. That's all it does. It's not very special. However, when a drummer positions himself around all of those items, and he knows how to, if I can line that one up with that one, and I can do that one there, and I can do that one there on there, and I can bring these random chaotic noise-making moments, and I can line them up, then suddenly we move from just the ability to make noises to actually, we're moving into something that's got a bit of feel. And we're moving into something now where it's like, it's not just going, but it starts to go, And we've got groove starting to develop. And then a good drummer is able to know how to take multiple things with just two arms and two legs. I mean, come on, drummers are amazing, right? And while drooling at the same time as well. So they are able to take their bodies and they're able to make all these items work and give it a groove and a feel. See, I think some of us are living a life of listening to God that is currently just random stabs and chaos. Find some rhythm. Find a groove. Find something to sit into this year. Find a beat to rest into. Find a pocket. Now, the other thing that's interesting about drums is I played drums in school, and I played them in my school band when I was 14. It was not good. And we played in the school talent quest. It was not good. And I was still learning drums at the time. I didn't know all the tricks, and this is before the internet when you could just watch a YouTube video on how to set up your drum set, you know. And we were in the school talent quest, and it was like, I know we're like the 10th act or something like that. And the 9th act is just gone, and we're number 10. And so it's like, quick, set up the drums and plug the guitar amp in. And so we run all this stuff up on stage, and we quickly set it up, and we start playing the song. And what had happened is, I didn't realize, but the drum set used to be set up in the music room on carpet, and now I had transported it into the hall, which was a shiny floor. And what happens, if you don't know, is that if you have drums on a shiny floor and you're playing them, well, what happens is that they all start to move away from you. So I'm playing the song with my band, which is not very good already, and I'm trying to play the drums, and as every time I kick the kick pedal, the kick drum is moving away from me, and the toms are getting further away. And I'm 14, so I'm not these like big 6-foot lanky limbs that you see before you today. I'm like tiny, and like I'm like struggling to reach things. And by the time we get through the second chorus, I'm literally trying to play the drums like this. And then there's a bit where I have to go like this tom groove, and I'm like, and this moment happens where I'm like, I have to stop. I have to yank this thing back, right? Because it's just going to keep drifting otherwise. And that's the lesson, I think, today too for you around proximity, is what is drifting in your life that you have to just go, stop, I have to yank this thing back. I have to just bring this thing close again. Oh my goodness, I didn't even realize how far. I was like, I've been playing my devotional life like this for like months. I need to just bring this thing back. I just have to stop. Enough, set, and then the joy is, once you've done that, you just pick up on the song and you continue again. And I think that's the lesson of proximity for some of us today. Is, hey, what did you used to do with Jesus that used to bring you so much joy, and it's just drifted? It's just drifted. Well, my encouragement to you today would be, stop the song, bring the thing back in, and then jump back in. Go for it again. Go buy a new book. Go buy a new notebook. Go for those walks that you used to love going for between you and God. Put the worship music back on instead of like the latest podcasts or whatever. Like just fall in love with the things that you used to, they've just drifted. Get the proximity, pull it in closer again. And the last thing is about high priority. And unfortunately, I couldn't think of a drum analogy for this. But do you want to know about priorities? I'll tell you about priorities. You know your priorities just by looking across the last week. It's as easy as that. You don't have to be vague about your priorities. The way you figure out your priorities is you just look over, what did you do last week? There are your priorities. What did you spend your money on? Those are your priorities. What did you spend your time in? Those are your priorities. Where did you spend your energy? Those are your priorities. And if you look back over the last several weeks and it's like, wow, a lot of this is just me, myself, and I, you know, that's not going to help you develop a good listening rhythm with God. So find a way of prioritizing this, bringing the proximity in closer, and finding a good rhythm. Amen? Amen. It's too early in the year. We'll get excited later. Right, so I have some questions for you. In your own journey of listening to God at the moment, would you say you're living in rhythm or chaos? Or maybe a mix of both? So just think about that for a second. Do I have rhythm? Or is it just chaos? And I just want to say, there is no way that you will spiritually grow mature in the long run if you think you're going to get by on just some random chaos. It's not going to happen. You need to develop rhythm, a regular, daily, habitual pulse that just keeps going on through, a groove that you can sit in. If all you're doing is doing this avant-garde, like, drum noise stuff, it'll get noisy and you'll get over it. Find rhythm. Second question, how's your proximity? Where is the drift? Where's the drift? What do you just have to just bring back in close to you between you and God? And thirdly, where is it on your priority list? Where is listening to God on your priority list? When you go through the way you make decisions, where is, I'm going to pray about this? Where is, I'm going to consider this with God? When you're thinking about what you're going to do this year that's going to cost lots of money, are you thinking about how you're going to spend that money by praying a bit? Or is it just you and your bank account and off you go? When you're thinking about changing jobs, moving homes, relocating, is there a moment of listening to God on that? Or is it just an afterthought? Where's the priority on this, guys? Like, I know that's a little bit of a, this is a little bit rough today, but this is what the Shema calls us to. Is, are we listening and are we awake? Are we up for this? And so those are some questions. I saw some people taking photos, so I'll just leave it there for another. If you quickly want to take a photo on your phone, I'll leave it there for just another 10 seconds. And I'm going to flick. So I have a couple of suggestions just to help as we start to land this. Firstly, how can you start to develop that kind of rhythmic, high priority, close proximity kind of life of listening to God? Firstly, here's a really simple one. Begin to practice gratitude daily and either do this solo by yourself or do it with someone. Gab and I have got a little rhythm that we do in our marriage where every Saturday morning we wake up nice and early. We take our dog for a nice long walk to this cafe that we go to every Saturday. And while we're walking to the cafe, she inevitably, it happens, and she rolls her eyes. But I always ask her, what are you grateful for this week? Tell me what was a gift this week? And we just start to talk about it and process it and acknowledge it. And we acknowledge what God did that only God could do. And we acknowledge those little moments of, wow, where did that come from? Wow, look what the Holy Spirit was up to. We didn't even notice it. And so practicing gratitude is a simple practice where you can start to connect in with what's happened and just figure out the little moments that you didn't even notice maybe the first time. And you can acknowledge God, say thank you for them, and you can start to build on them and grow them. Gratitude is a very, very powerful currency in our lives today. It's very powerful. And I just wonder if, for those of you who are feeling chaotic, here's a first little step that you could try for the first half of this year. Open a little note on your phone or buy a little notebook and just title it gratitude. And just start locating the things you're grateful for between you and God. And just start picking up on them and noting them. Step one. Step two is, it's an app that I've been using. It's called Infinitum. And Infinitum is Latin for never ending, infinity, ongoing. And it's an app for rhythm. It's an app for finding a spiritual rhythm. And there's a prayer in this app that I pray every day. I pray it every morning. It's three different things that I pray. The first prayer goes like this. Okay? You ready? It's going to get a little bit physical. Okay? So this is what I do. Firstly, I fold my arms like this. And I pray, God, I am so used to being a bystander. I'm so used to just being hoping that someone else is going to sort things out. I'm so used to hoping that someone else will take responsibility. But I choose instead to be missional. I choose instead to be outward focused. And then I do another one. I go like this. I clench my fists in front of me. I say, God, I'm so used to fighting for what I want. God, I'm so used to fighting for the thing that I deserve. God, I'm so used to fighting for the thing that is my kingdom. But instead of all that fighting, I choose to surrender. And I choose to let you be Lord And I choose to let you build your church. And I choose to let you be the God of my life instead of me running it. And then I hold my hands just like this, which is kind of like the fists, but that way. And I say, God, I'm so used to holding on to everything that I have. God, I'm so used to keeping the things and thinking they're mine. God, I'm so used to clinging to the things that I've earned. But instead, God, today I choose to be generous. So I choose to be a generous person today. Help me be generous. So those three prayers, surrender, generosity, and mission. I just pray that every morning. It's in that app. You can find it for yourself. It's called Infinitum Life. It's a website, infinitumlife.org. Just search for it on Google. Find the app, put it on. And then at about 8:30 every day, they send me through just a little notification of a deep thing to think about. So it might be a scripture or a quote from church history or a prayer out of the prayer book. Just one will pop up. And just every day I'm bubbling away on that stuff. Just every day. Just it's just a little thing. Like it's not like 3 hours in a prayer room. It's just a quick little thing. But it's this pulse that's just developing in my life so that I become a person of surrender, a person of generosity, and a person of mission. And if that's the kind of person you want to be, that's the kind of habit that you could form thanks to that. And the last one, the last challenge I have, and this is like kind of like the upgrade or the like go big. I lay it out there. And I say, if you want to make this a priority, listening to God this year, being a listen to God kind of person, then here's the challenge. In the next 30 days, get down to the prayer rooms that we've built at Community Hall. Get down. Come down. Find a night. Book it in. Come down for an afternoon. Come down before work. I don't care where you do it in your calendar, but come. And come and put some time in your calendar to come and do this and give it a go. Because that will show the kind of priority that you are truly taking this as, is by putting your energy and your effort and your time into a beautiful waste before Jesus in a prayer room. So those are the three things I want to just encourage you with. If you need to make a step today towards that kind of life, there's three easy things. Just the simple thing of gratitude, or maybe put the Infinitum Life app on your phone, or maybe come to Community Hall in the next 30 days and pray in our prayer rooms. And you might be thinking like, I just want to stitch this up with this last thought. I'm not taking questions. Oh, yeah. So about that, we'll get in touch with you about that. What we're going to do is we're going to put a lockbox of some kind in place. And Strawn, who oversees our prayer ministry stuff, he's going to start to liaise with people who want to use the prayer room so that it's just done well. So yeah, we're going to have information about that soon. Yeah, good question. This is my last thought. You might be thinking like, man, Dan, like you're heaping it on today. You're heaping it on. Well, there was this quote at the end of last year that actually came through on my Infinitum app. There we go. And it was this. The Western church isn't in danger of becoming too religious. It's in danger of becoming lazy. Preach. Now, my heart today is not like whip, whip, whip. Come on, get your life sorted. That's not my heart. My heart is, if you want to have a mature, growing, and faithful presence of Jesus kind of life for this year, 10 years, 30 years, 50 years, you have to take seriously the Shema, which says, listen, make your life become attuned to God. And the only way you can do that is by building good habits, good foundations, good rhythms. That's how we listen today in this noisy, noisy world. Yep, he will speak in these big moments at church and conferences and all kinds of things too, but the most faithful work he does is that quiet, slow work. So have you got a place for that this year? I so hope so. Because we are not in danger of becoming too religious, but we are in danger of just being found to be lazy. Let's stand. God, you have called us to be good stewards. And so today, as we have gathered, we have considered there's a year ahead of us. There is time that we will not get back. There is money that is going to come into our bank accounts that we are going to spend and we will not get to have to spend again. There is energy. There is life in our bodies. And with every day that passes, we will not get to spend that day of energy again. So God, today, here in this first gathering of the year, would you tune us up to be people who steward our lives well? And in stewarding our lives well, we want to be able to hear from you well. So we just make a commitment now, God, and standing. God, would you speak to us? We are listening and available. Would you help us to make room in our calendars, in our schedules, in our lives? Would you help some of us to take big risks and to do things we haven't done before? God, would you help those who have drift that they've acknowledged this morning? God, would you, I just know mercifully you're going to help them to bring that in, pick that up, and carry on. For the things that are in front of us, God, in 2018, we commit them to you. And we ask that as we go into this year, that we would be people who do this closely in proximity with you. That we would be people close to Jesus. That if your presence doesn't come with us, we don't want to go at all. And I pray that we'd be found to be people of a good priority. That God, you are considered first and foremost. That we seek your kingdom above all other kingdoms. That Jesus, we seek your righteousness rather than any other ways of being right. And that you would make us together into people who are faithful presence of your love here today in Aotearoa. So God, for the things that are ahead of us this week, we commit them and we ask you to work in them. Help us to steward them well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there we go. How's that? 2018. Let's go. Hey, we haven't quite got our rostering stuff sorted yet. So if you are frequently around here, could you just give us a hand helping to pack up a little bit this morning? And Gab, do you want to come here just for a second? This is my beautiful wife, Gab. And Gab is running the Sunday team volunteers now. So for the last 2 years, it's been Steve Van Beekhuizen. Well, now Gab's running that. So if you want to get involved in anything that just helps to make Sundays happen, come and speak to Gab and she will get you plugged in. That's the setup and the pack down and the hospitality and the welcoming and the coffee and the AV and just all these things that we do together when we're here. If you want to do that this year, come and see Gab, all right? But if you could help us today, that'd be really helpful. We've got to pick up the signs and put the chairs away and all that sort of stuff in like 10 minutes. Don't do it right now. But have a great week. Come and pop by Community Hall. We have a space to work if you just want to come and open your laptop and join in. Come and pray. Come and enjoy what we've done. And say hi to someone on your way out. Greet someone. And if you've got kids that are watching a movie, make sure you go and grab them. All right? God bless you. Go well.